When you slide behind the wheel of a car, you expect the dashboard to tell you a few very specific things.
Right, the important stuff.
Yeah. You want to know your speed, and, well, you want to know if you actually have enough fuel to reach your destination.
Which is kind of essential.
Right. But imagine, just for a second, if your car's dashboard only told you how many times you press the gas pedal.
Oh man, you would be completely flying blind. I mean, you could be pressing the pedal while the car is stuck in neutral,
Exactly.
or you could be entirely out of gas. The simple count of your physical activity doesn't actually tell you if you're moving forward.
And yet, think about your own company for a second. When we look at how most corporate organizations track their workforce, that is exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, they're just counting activity.
Right. How many people logged in today? How many people clicked through this mandatory PCF?
It's literally just counting pedal presses.
It really is. So today we are taking a deep dive into a massive stack of software documentation, case studies, and analytics white papers about a platform called Scrypts.
Yeah, and the mission today is to figure out how organizations can finally see what is actually working.
Exactly. We're going to explore how their analytics turn static data into actual corporate readiness.
Because your dashboards need to prove whether your organization is becoming more capable, not just more active.
It's a massive shift in mindset.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because in a complex operational environment, whether you're managing a retail chain or a factory floor or a logistics hub retrospective data, it's basically useless.
Right. Looking backward doesn't help you today.
Exactly. A report telling you that a team failed a compliance check last month is way too late. The damage is already done. You need a connected view of readiness right now.
Okay, let's unpack this. If we're moving from this fragmented retrospective data to a connected view of readiness, we need to know what we're actually looking at. Because corporate IT is usually, a total mess of different systems. So what is Scrix actually tracking across the board?
Well, to understand how Scrix measures capability, you have to look at the sheer breadth of its core reporting. It's not just a standard learning platform.
Right.
It provides dedicated dashboards across a huge spectrum. We're talking learning, skills, compliance, readiness.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and it keeps going. Assessments, standard operating procedures or SOPs, and workforce planning, it integrates all of that into one unified ecosystem.
And I imagine it's not just like a basic table of numbers, right? Because data is only as good as your ability to manipulate it.
Oh, absolutely. The reporting infrastructure behind this is extremely robust.
Yeah.
It's built specifically for enterprise scale.
So what does that actually look like?
It includes a report navigator, persistent filtering, pagination, dashboard cards, count summaries, and trend charts.
So a lot of visual data.
Exactly. You can visualize an XP time series, for example, which tracks how experience points accumulate over time, or look at really detailed attempt analytics. But honestly, one of the most practical features is persistent filtering.
Persistent filtering. Give me a real-world example of why I should actually care about that.
Okay, so imagine you're a manager. You filter a massive company report to only show the night shift team at the Chicago site.
Okay, yep.
In a lot of older systems, if you click into a specific employee's profile to check their training and then hit the back button.
Let me guess, your filters reset.
Exactly, you have to start all over.
Yeah.
But with persistent filtering, your parameters stay locked in as you move around the platform.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it saves an enormous amount of administrative time.
That sounds like a small detail, but if you've ever managed a busy team, you know that is a massive quality of life improvement.
Huge.
And I notice in the documentation that this data is highly accessible outside of Scrix, too. You can export via CSV or pull API accessible reporting data. Let's translate that API part for a second. That basically means Scrix acts as the plumbing, right? It automatically feeds its readiness data into your company's wider business systems.
Exactly, like your HR information system or your business intelligence
So
tools.
nobody has to manually copy and paste numbers all day.
Precisely. No system exists in a vacuum, and data locked in a silo doesn't help anyone. But what's really fascinating here is how the reporting drills down logically.
What do you mean by logically?
Well, a CEO doesn't need to see a raw data dump of every employee's test scores, right?
Definitely not.
They start with an organization-wide view. They can generate a risk heat map for the entire company.
Okay.
And if they see a lot of red in a specific region, they can drill down to the site level, then to the department level.
Then the team level.
Yeah, right down to the specific role level to find the exact bottleneck.
So instead of an executive jumping between, a separate learning management system to check training and then an HR system to check
And a
skills.
shift planner to check
Yeah.
missing roles. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. They see all the interconnected risk in one view. But let me push back a little here.
Sure.
That sounds fantastic for the executives in the boardroom, but how does this actually look for the people on the ground? The learners and the shift managers aren't looking at corporate heat maps.
I'm really glad you brought that up because the system absolutely fails if it doesn't work for the front line.
Right.
So let's shift our perspective to the individual employee. For them, Skrix provides what's called a learner report. You can think of it as a highly personalized capability record.
I actually love thinking of the learner report like a personalized financial bank statement.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, because instead of money, everyone sees exactly what assets they own, like their verified skills, certificates, their XP time series, and what debts they owe, like overdue training or an SOP they haven't acknowledged yet.
Right. It calculates their personal readiness in black and white.
Exactly.
That's a brilliant way to frame it. The learner report gives them a dashboard called My Progress. It shows those overdue SOPs, module attempts, question history, skill trees, all of that compliance status.
Does it show physical evidence too? Like if they had to prove they could do something?
It does. It tracks their evidence history. So, for example, if they uploaded a video of themselves safely operating a forklift, it's right there.
Wow, so it's total transparency for the employee.
Completely. Now, if you flip that to the manager's perspective, managers get manager reports, which are purely operational.
Right, because if I am running a shift, I don't just want to know if my team learned something. I need to know if it is legally and physically safe to open the doors for business today.
Exactly. The manager sees their team's training progress, compliance, and readiness all in one single place.
So they can spot issues before they happen.
Yeah, they can spot skill gaps, progression bottlenecks, assessment results, overdue items, all of it. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, managers can use features like the compare tray.
Oh, the compare tray. How does that work?
It allows for split-screen comparisons, so a manager can pull up their team's readiness and put it right next to the company averages.
Oh, that's smart.
Or they can compare it to the best-performing branch in the region. It instantly grounds their team's performance in reality.
Right, because if your team is at 70% readiness, but the company average is 95%, you immediately know you have an operational issue to
You
address.
can't hide from that data.
No, you really can't. So having all these detailed reports and split screens is great when things are going well, but let's get real for a second.
Okay.
What happens when the numbers look terrible? If I'm a manager and I see a huge dip in readiness, I don't just need to know that we are failing, I need to know why.
Right.
This is where the documentation dives into question history and learning bottlenecks, and I found this part completely fascinating.
It really is. This is where we move past those basic pedal press attempt statistics we talked about. Skrix tracks incredibly granular question history.
How granular are we talking?
It logs question pass and fail history, the time to answer, common wrong answers, and difficulty performance.
Hold on, let me play devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
If 80% of my team fails a quiz on a new piece of machinery, my first instinct as a manager is that my team is just slacking off or they're not paying attention.
Sure, that's the natural assumption.
Right. So, how does the software confidently point the finger at the training material instead of the employee?
It all comes down to pattern recognition and bottleneck intelligence. If your team is failing randomly, like they're picking different answers across the board, maybe they really aren't paying attention.
Okay, that makes sense.
But if 80% of a team is choosing the exact same common or wrong answer, let's say everyone picks option C, the platform detects that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it identifies that as a poorly performing question or poorly performing content.
So it's basically saying, hey, your employees aren't stupid. Your question is just written like a trick question.
Exactly. It provides knowledge gap detection and misunderstood topic detection. It can literally tell a manager, hey, this specific section of your SOP is frequently misunderstood.
That is incredible.
Or it might say, this specific node on your skill tree is repeatedly stalling learners. It tracks the exact drop-off points and retake patterns.
That is huge. It takes the blame off the learner automatically and points the finger at a confusing PDF or a badly worded quiz.
Right.
But identifying a badly worded question or a compliance gap is, well, it's only half the battle. If I have a massive team, I don't just want a list of my problems. A modern platform should actually help you fix them.
And that leads us to one of the most powerful features in Skrix, the AI action engine.
Yes, I wanted to get into this.
It's game-changing. The system turns those detected bottlenecks into solution-focused recommendations.
So it doesn't just leave you hanging.
Exactly. It doesn't just show you the gaps. It suggests the fastest, safest actions to close them. And crucially, it prioritizes these recommendations by impact and effort.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because it turns a static data report into a dynamic, prioritized, operational to-do list for managers.
Yep.
Give me an example of how this impact versus effort prioritization works in the real world.
Okay, let's say you run a manufacturing plant. The AI action engine detects that 7 of your quality inspectors are missing their advanced certification.
Which puts your entire production line at risk of an audit failure.
Exactly. The system won't just flash a red warning light and leave you to figure it out. It calculates the variables and recommends an action, like assign refresher training to closest fit candidates.
Okay.
It will tell the manager, if you do this specific action, it will require low effort, but you will close 7 critical gaps and improve your shift coverage by 1.8%.
So the recommendations are highly specific to the context.
Very specific.
It might suggest you rewrite a poorly performing question because it's causing a bottleneck. Or review a confusing SOP section.
Or it might suggest you request evidence for a skill. Or wrote an approval task to the right supervisor, so a learner isn't just stuck waiting for a sign-off.
It's taking the entire cognitive load off the manager.
It have to. Because when you are managing a busy shift, you don't have time to cross-reference 3 different spreadsheets to figure out who needs what training and how to fix it.
Right. You just need to know the next safe action to take.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've seen how learning is tracked, how bottlenecks are found, and how gaps are fixed through the AI action engine. But let's take a step back.
Yeah.
None of this matters, and none of it works if your employees aren't actually using the platform. You can have the best training material in the world, but if people aren't logging in, it's useless.
100%.
How do we track if the rollout of this system is actually successful?
This is a major blind spot for a lot of companies, which is exactly why Stress built the Adoption Intelligence Center.
Okay.
This is the reporting layer specifically designed for understanding engagement. Because, as you said, a system is only as good as its adoption rate.
Right.
First, it looks at employee engagement. It tracks how many employees were invited, how many activated their accounts, and the first login rates, breaking that down by 7, 14, and 30 days.
And it tracks something called the time to first meaningful action, which I absolutely love.
It's such a great metric.
Because logging into an app is just a reflex, right? But completing a safety module or acknowledging a new SOP, that is an actual action.
Exactly.
If it takes a user 14 days to take a meaningful action, your rollout is failing, even if your daily login graph looks amazing.
That is the exact distinction companies need to make. The Adoption Intelligence Center looks at daily, weekly, and monthly active users, returning user rates, and inactive user risk.
So it's tracking the real habits.
Yeah. Then it layers on app and feature usage. It tracks which areas of the platform are actually providing value. Are people spending their time reading SOPs, watching training videos, or using the Shift Studio?
So the AI action engine gives managers this incredible to-do list to fix compliance, but a to-do list is useless if the manager refuses to open the app. Does it track if the leadership is actually doing their job?
It absolutely does. Under manager engagement, it tracks active versus inactive managers. Are they making assignments and following through? Are they performing the required sign-off?
Ah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it looks at their approval response times and flags any outstanding or overdue actions. It essentially measures if the leadership is supporting the rollout or if they're the ones creating the bottleneck.
Then there is the learning intelligence side, which gets into some really specific, really critical territory.
It really does.
It tracks whether learning minutes are happening during scheduled shifts, during normal working hours, or outside normal hours. Why is that distinction so important?
Well, it is vital for compliance with labor laws.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. If your data shows that your employees are doing all of their mandatory training on their mobile phones at 9:00 p.m. on a Sunday, you have a massive problem.
Right.
You could be violating overtime pay laws, union rules, or at the very least, contributing to severe employee burnout. Learning intelligence flags those habits so you can fix them.
That is such a good point.
And finally, there is requests intelligence. It tracks self-service adoption, like the volume of holiday requests or confidential requests, and how quickly managers are responding to those.
Okay, hold on. If the system is tracking confidential requests and holiday bookings, who exactly is looking at this data?
I know where you're going with this.
Because that sounds like it could easily cross the line into Big Brother territory. If I make a sensitive HR request, I don't want that popping up on some executive's trend chart.
You are absolutely right, and that is a crucial concern for any enterprise software. Scrix handles this with strict privacy, pseudonymization, and tenant isolation protocols.
Okay, break that down for me.
Sure. First, let's look at Scrix's own internal views. When the vendor's team is looking at adoption data to improve the software platform, there are no employee names or avatars used whatsoever.
None at all.
None. Employees are represented by consistent pseudonymous labels.
Okay, so total anonymity for the vendor. What about the client organization? What does my boss see?
Client organizations only see real names and avatars for authorized managers, and only within their strictly permitted scope.
Okay, so a team leader only sees their direct team.
Exactly. A department head only sees their department. Furthermore, there's absolute tenant isolation. If cross-client analysis is ever done to spot macro industry trends, a client can never, ever see another client's data.
I also noticed in the documentation they use something called small group suppression.
Yes, that's a big one.
Let me translate that for a second because I think that's an absolute must-have. If you only have two female forklift drivers at a specific warehouse, showing their demographic or performance data on a dashboard practically names them.
Exactly, the sample size is too small.
Right, so small group suppression acts like a digital blur, right? If the group is too small, the data is hidden from the aggregate to protect their individual identity.
That is a perfect explanation. It's the difference between insightful management and invading privacy.
Yeah.
And to directly answer your question about confidential requests,
Yeah.
the actual content of confidential and protected requests remains completely outside the adoption intelligence reporting.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. The system might count that a request was made, and it will track how fast a manager replied to ensure operational flow, but the sensitive details of what you actually requested are locked down and totally excluded from these
Yeah.
dashboards.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It protects the individual employee while still holding the organization accountable for responding in a timely manner.
Exactly.
So the data is secure and people are using the app, but how does that digital engagement actually translate into physical value for the organization?
That's the ultimate question.
Right, let's say it's a Tuesday morning shift on a factory floor. How does all this reporting actually help then?
This is where we reach the pinnacle of what Scrix does: workforce intelligence and rollout intelligence. Because, to your point, a high app adoption rate doesn't mean much if the factory floor is still a dangerous mess. Workforce intelligence tracks the physical reality of the operation. It looks at the shift patterns in use. It calculates the rotoplanning horizon.
Which means what exactly?
It means, on average, how many days ahead is the organization actually planning its shifts? Are they scrambling the night before, or are they planned out 3 weeks in advance?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it compares planned shifts versus assigned shifts. But most importantly, it tracks competent person coverage for operational roles.
This is the real aha moment for me. Most companies think an 80% app download rate means the software rollout was a huge success.
Oh, for sure.
But Scrix asks a much harder question. It asks, did that 80% download rate actually result in fewer unfilled seats and higher compliance on that Tuesday morning shift?
Exactly. And this isn't about some vague return on investment pricing model that a sales team pitches you. This is about adoption to readiness conversion.
What does that look like in practice?
Under rollout and value intelligence, organizations can run A/B tests on themselves. They can compare new branches that are just rolling out the Scrix platform against branches that have already successfully adopted it.
So you can see the before and after.
Yeah, they track the actual readiness improvement after a rollout. They can prove that using the software directly translates to physical operational safety.
They can also track audit readiness coverage, which is a massive stress relief. If you've ever been through a surprise compliance audit, you know the panic of digging through filing cabinets for training certificates.
That's a nightmare.
It really is. Scrix tracks your audit readiness in real time and runs data quality reporting like spotting if there are missing role tags across a department so you know your foundation is solid before the auditor even walks in the door.
It completely changes the dynamic of how a business operates.
So what does this all mean? When you step back and look at this entire ecosystem, from the learner report showing your personal assets and debts to the AI action engine giving managers a prioritized to-do list.
To the adoption and workforce intelligence, proving that the software actually works.
Exactly. Scrix reporting is clearly not just a set of isolated dashboards.
It really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It connects the learning, the questions, the assessments, the SOPs, the skills, the readiness, the manager follow-through, and the rollout adoption all together in one place.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it allows organizations to finally see what is working, what is blocked, and where intervention is needed.
It brings us right back to where we started. With Skrix, reporting is not just about counting activity. It is not just counting how many times you press the gas pedal while stuck in neutral. Yeah. It is about seeing where capability is improving, where your people are stuck, and where action is needed next.
I think the most important takeaway for anyone listening is this. You need to evaluate your own organization's definition of readiness metrics.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your current company dashboards only tell you what happened in the past, how can you ever use them to prevent the operational failures of tomorrow?
A brilliant, provocative question to leave you with. Take a hard look at your own dashboard and then ask yourself what it's really telling you. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.